Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Michael Janz, founder of Agency Revolution, where we automate your systems, engage your customers, and help you grow your agency or brokerage. And I want to welcome you to this episode of the Connected Insurance Podcast. I'm thrilled to be able to present a guest who is both an active, successful agent and the managing principal of the Broadfield Group. I have seen this agent double the size of his agency more than once, and also an industry activist and an expert and an observer and, frankly, somebody who cares very deeply about the future of the agency broker channel. Let me share a little bit about his background so you'll get a sense of the depth of what he brings to this conversation. Keith is the national director for the state of New Jersey for the Professional Insurance Agents Association. He's on the executive committee of PIA National. He serves as vice president. He's the past president of the PIA of New Jersey. And he is, frankly, well-known throughout the industry, among industry leaders, as the father of the buy button, which we will talk about in this conversation. He's been committed to technology automation and industry standards for years. He serves as the immediate past chair of NetView, the Vertafore Users Group. He has served as the industry relations chair and participates in numerous carrier and industry groups on behalf of NetView, such as the Agents Council for Technology with the Big I. He's a current member of the Leaders Council for AUGI, the Association of User Group Information Exchange, representing PIA National. He sits on the Ivins Advisory Board, the DocuSign Advisory Council. He is a former member of the Accord Board of Directors. There really is very little that Keith Savino hasn't had his fingers in this industry, and I think, as you'll discover very shortly, it's because he has, number one, he has tremendous knowledge about insurance. He has tremendous knowledge about how technology serves insurance agents and serves their customers. And he is also a very, very smart insurance agent and insurance agency leader. And full disclosure, Keith and I have known each other for many years. He's been a client for probably 15 years, for 10 or more. He's been a member of my last mastermind group, the Million Dollar Club. Without further ado, I welcome you to this conversation with my friend, Keith Savino. Keith Savino, I want to first of all thank you for giving us some of your time, because I know how busy you are, and welcome you to this podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome, Michael.
All right. So this is an interesting conversation for me. Generally, when I do a podcast, I will either be interviewing somebody who spends all of their time busy running an agency or brokerage, or somebody who spends all of their time in some leadership in the industry as an analyst, researcher, consultant, vendor, something like that. In this case, Keith, I got a two-in-one. I got a twofer because you do you are the a principal of a growing agency, one with a national footprint, but you also spend as much time as almost anybody I know providing leadership to the industry in a number of different forums, and you have done that for decades. So before we get started, maybe kind of for those who may not know your name as well as I do, and full disclosure, Keith and I do go back years and years and years. We've been working together for years and years and years, so I want to make sure that everybody has the same advantage I have about getting some sense of who this guy is. So, Keith, I think I probably did first meet you as a client well over a decade ago, but then very quickly came to see the name Keith Savino popping up here and there and then almost everywhere. So we'll get to your agency and we'll talk about the brokerage and some of the exciting things that you're doing. But first, tell us a little bit about your industry activity.
Okay. So when I first got into the business, I was shown where the computers were. I did not come from the insurance industry. My background was, I worked for MCI Telecom. Some folks may remember them. So I came from the telephony industry, and I was actually a headhunter for high-tech electronics companies. So I was never averse to have a conversation about technology. So I really started with my brother in the business, about 88, and putting together our computer system. Some may remember it. At the time, it was known as Redshaw.
Right.
And that was a Wang computer system. And those listening to this, some of them are going to have really fond memories of that, or maybe not, but I do. And we were one of the first agencies in the country to transactionally file for both personal and commercial lines, as well as claims, every piece of business back in October of 88.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't realize we were one of the first until they did an article about us. And then basically our life changed forever. So after that point in time, I got thrown into a number of groups. If you open up your mouth more than once, you'll probably be volunteered for something. Now, I take pleasure in volunteering everyone I know to be attached to everything, so consider that payback. And then over the years, I was involved with a number of user group boards. Most recently, people would know me as the immediate past chair of the Network of Vertifor Users. I've run probably 10 or 12 systems over my career. And I'm also a prior Accord board member for over a dozen years, and I used to be involved in the standard-setting process in many work groups, including the professional and cyber group. So I'm a producer by trade, so to your point, but I am a technical evangelist, and currently I'm vice president of PI National, past president of the state and a national director. So I've been involved in the industry in a variety of ways. And then the advisory boards would include things such as the Ivins Advisory Board and DocuSign's Advisory Board. So I try to help out the independent agency system wherever possible by making sure the key vendors have independent agents involved on their boards, whether I'm the person or whether I've helped to volunteer somebody to some of these roles over the years.
Okay. It wouldn't be unusual for somebody to see you at almost any national convention or meeting that they went to. And you might be very likely on the stage or behind the podium. So you, Keith, have been, you've been at this a long time. And you've been at this in the seat of an agency principal. And like I said, you know, behind the podium or running a board meeting or doing something where people are really thinking about what's happening to the broker channel, how can we move it forward, and so on and so forth. So, excuse me, that's the perspective that I would like to start with, Keith. I think we've both seen over the years, like the story that you were telling about Redshaw, okay? I mean, that's an image that goes way back. And I remember, you and I have talked about this, years ago when I was running one of the trade associations, so to give you a sense of how long ago this was, most of the audience at a convention or a conference that we ran did not have management systems. They may not have had computers, I'm not sure. So we did a kind of a battle of the management systems, and a rep from each of the major vendors got on stage, showed a few slides or a few screenshots, and talked about their features. And I remember looking at the audience and seeing some of our own association members, you know, kind of looking at each other and saying, do you have one of these? Do you think you need one of these? Do we really need to do this? We've seen, so that was probably 20 years ago. We've seen a lot happen since then. And during that course of time.
More than 20 years ago. For us, you can tell yourself that all day long, but it was probably 30 years ago.
Ouch. Okay. So over that period of time, we've seen technology come and change, and you know, people get excited, people get frightened, and so on and so forth. We've seen the industry changes, consumer behavior changes. So obviously there's a lot of excitement about changes in the industry right now. How do you think it compares to periods in the past?
It seems like something unique or special has to happen every couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So 20 years ago, most folks were wondering whether this thing called the internet was going to catch on.
Right.
I could remember teaching a course in Vegas, I think it was 95, on teaching people how to register their agency domains. Most folks did not think that was important. And by 97, people were debating whether or not their customer service reps should actually have access to the internet. At the moment, everything seems important. And of course, back then, agents were being disintermediated. And people were going to sell insurance online and put agents out of business. The interesting thing today, now, of course, we went from disintermediation to disruption.
Right.
And the irony of that is most of the online insurance firms today, not to jump to that, but I will, are actually insurance agencies
with
an online presence,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
In order to sell insurance, you have to have a license so we can wrap it up any way we want. But effectively, in order to provide online insurance in either a direct or in a multi-carrier environment. Of course, I'm speaking from the perspective of an independent agent who likes the multi-carrier environment.
Right.
You have to have an insurance agency. So I think some folks have begun to realize, well, wait a second, if I offer insurance to someone on the phone or online or in person, there's absolutely no difference. It's just a distribution method. You may not like them all, but it's an insurance agent distributing insurance. So I think we've demystified that. Maybe not always to the folks who are making investments. Sometimes things seem a little sexier because of the volume and because of the way in which you can package it. But effectively now, I don't think that it has as much charm as it did 20 years ago, because I think most independent agents recognize they either are now or will in the future be offering multi-channel solutions to their prospects.
All right. So, in years past, I mean, we have gone through transitions where there really was a shakeout. Okay. There have been periods where sometimes it's maybe the older agency principal doesn't want to make the change, doesn't want to invest in the new technology, kind of wants to ride out their book of business. And so, we saw that when agency management systems were emerging, that was a new technology and not everybody adopted it. And if they didn't, there was a consequence to pay for that. But, you know, maybe they rode that out, they sold their book and they retired and they were thrilled. Does it feel like that now, or do you think this is?
Okay. It does. And I think that there's a lot of challenges right now to an independent agent. If I was to look at the top challenges, I would be thinking that one is agents are challenged by the costs of being in business. So 10, 15 years ago, the way we did business is different than today. And our ability to have a high closing rate of business that we work with becomes more and more valuable every day because the customer acquisition cost has gone up substantially. Right.
It's always the expensive part of the marketing process. But you're saying it's more expensive now. Share your thought on that. Why is that?
In many agencies, you have front end cost of reports. There's third party reports that didn't exist 15, 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You want to buy more underwriting information up front in order to do a better job of beginning and ending the transaction. I'll talk about that more later.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very important for us to have the ability to continue to connect with those accounts we don't write or that we've lost. Now, this hasn't changed. A lot of these philosophies have not changed for 300 years. We just didn't have the business tools.
The technologies that allow us to do those things exist. Okay.
Yeah. I remember when I was first in the business, folks would say, never give up on that account. Go back to second or third year, because if you stay on top of them, you have a better chance.
Mm-hmm.
And if I looked and said, how many people really did that well in an automated autopilot way, clearly that wasn't happening in the 80s and the 90s.
Of course, right.
Some of those business tools now give us the ability also to retain business. So again, if you go after those lines that you lost or that you didn't win the first time, and you invest in your ability to retain business, for every point that you retain, that has a direct effect on your profitability and at the end of the day, your EBITDA. And the effort and strategy to build books of business has really changed. So you see a change in the landscape. You know, there's no arguing good or bad here. It's just reality. If we went to acquire an agency 10 years ago, the way in which we would approach that agency would be much different than today based upon the way, and we're talking 2017 now,
right.
Based
uh-huh.
upon the way in which agencies are optimizing their assets, either by coming together as larger groups or by rolling up. And you see more and more of that going on, obviously,
right.
because it can be very appealing when you are in a particular town, territory, or what have you, and you have the ability to build out a national brand.
Uh-huh.
And then lastly, we went, and I'll talk about this when we talk about the buy button, because you know I'm going to do that. We went from the ability of being able to begin and end that sale in our office in a one visit in the 90s before technology.
Right.
Even though there was technology there, it was mostly manufactured rates, et cetera, to now, agents no longer have the ability to begin and end the transaction in our system and bind it in that one visit. So because of that, we're losing new business opportunities every single day of the week. And I'll talk more about that insanity when you ask me to explain that.
Well, let's dive into that. You used the two words that I was expecting us to talk about, buy button. And I think, Keith, you're recognized in the industry as, perhaps the leading advocate for that concept. Tell us what that means.
All right. So first, I want to demystify it. A lot of folks, when they hear that, they immediately think that we're professing that every insurance agent should immediately give up their local presence and sell online.
Right.
That is absolutely not what the buy button is about. The buy button to me is a multi-phased approach, and the first one is the ability for us to begin and end the transaction in our system, mm-hmm. in our offices. So
right.
let's think offline for a moment. Again, somebody walked into an office to write personal lines or small commercial years ago. You'd flip open a manual, you'd rate it up, and you'd send somebody home with an ID card and a policy.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, some manufactured data aggregation tools, we call them raters, but
right.
Effectively, they would give you an estimate. They should have been called estimators. That's what contractors call them,
okay.
right? But we call them raters.
Right.
And by the way, the vendors, I'm not insulting any vendors. The vendors will tell you that themselves, right? Because they don't manufacture the rates even today. They're getting them from their sources, within the carrier.
Right.
Well, the fact is we could send somebody home with the auto ID cards, with the policy, et cetera. As we evolved to the carriers needing to build out their secret sauce online within their systems,
mm-hmm.
we no longer could finish that process. We had to bridge over to another system. So now, in the late 90s, if an agency represented a half a dozen personal lines carriers, that was probably a pretty good number. Today, it's dozens. And a lot of that has come about, and I know I'm talking about personal lines, but this is really no different for small commercial or all commercial,
mm-hmm.
Is that in order for us to finish the process, we might begin it in a data aggregation tool, but we have to finish it in someone else's system. So now you're leaving your system in order for you to ask additional questions. It is not a good customer experience, number one.
Right.
Second is, if I was to paint the picture of two conversations, the direct writers operate in one system. They can begin and end the conversation in their one system. And at the end of that conversation, they could say, Michael, would you prefer the $9 a week or the $12 a week plan?
Right.
You're a marketer and a salesperson. You know the rule, right? He who speaks first loses. So they can ask that question, and they can end the conversation with, thank you for your order. Thanks for being a client. Okay?
Uh-huh.
In the independent agency world, most sales begin with, let me get some information from you. And at the end of the conversation, it's, Michael, thank you very much for your time today. I've got all your information. Let me get back to you soon with a quote. And in some agencies, that might be later that day, but more than likely, it's not. It's within a few days, because I may need to now bridge over to another system, put it in, see if the numbers change. Often they do. Three more questions, go back to the client, and so on. And now you're ending up with multiple touch points in order for you to actually sell that policy. Well, 5 years ago, that was more tolerable than today. And frequently, by the time people get back to their prospect or client, they have moved on. So we're not losing the business because we don't have good products. We're not losing the business because we don't have good price points. We're losing the business because we cannot finish the transaction while we're talking to clients.
Keith, you're saying we're as a channel, Are you saying that we are less convenient than we used to be?
We're not only, well, we're not so much less convenient because we might be convenient to reach, call, or touch.
Right, yeah.
We're less efficient.
Okay.
And we're performing really poorly in giving a client a solution at a reasonable period of time.
Do you think
what
that that's
reasonable is by the end of the conversation?
By the end of the first conversation. Do you think that's also happening as customers are being trained by other industries or maybe even other parts of our industry to expect to be taken care of quickly?
Yeah, so let me give you two analogies that I think would so let's move out of our industry. Let's talk about the automobile industry for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
If you went to shop for a car right now and you fell in love with, I know you're a car guy, so I'm not going to pick on you for anything, but you fell in love with this awesome convertible.
Yeah.
And you showed up and there it is on the showroom floor and you think, would you like to test drive it, Mr. Jans? Absolutely.
Right.
And you take it out for a drive and you fall in love with the car and you sit down. You're ready to buy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I believe that most people who call us for insurance, they're ready to buy. They may be wanting to know the numbers are in the right place and the coverages satisfy their needs, right? But you know the car, you know the color, you know this, and you enjoy it. And you sit down with the salesperson, and that salesperson says, Mr. Jans, thank you very much for stopping by today. I've taken down your name and phone number. Let me call you in a few days with what the car is going to cost you. What do you think the chances of you walking out the most car dealerships are today?
Right.
Prompted by the salesperson to leave.
Yeah.
That's what we do all day long.
Mm-hmm.
Even worse, let's say now in our case, because we have multiple carriers, that I need to go to multiple companies to place your business. This gets even better. I like ice cream. Do you like ice cream?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I'm a fan of a couple of different brands, and I'm going to pick on a few for a moment. Hopefully we can do this on the podcast. And I'm going to say that I like Ben & Jerry's is a particular one that I happen to like.
Right.
And I do like Edie's, and I like Friendly's, okay? And there's some other ones, too. I know there's a Haagen-Dazs person out there who's really upset with me. But those are the three that I like. Now, right now in our systems, if I go into a rater or work with a carrier, I have to go to multiple systems in order to complete the purchase, don't I?
Right.
I cannot begin and end the transaction in my system, which is really crazy considering most of these are just web service calls. I should be able to bring it in. I can go to my bank and see what my Visa statement is in my bank system, right? So they're talking to each other behind the scenes. Well, for some reason, that's not happening for us right now. So I walk up to the counter with those three ice creams, and here's what I'm told.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take your Edie's to the Edie's line. You have to take your Friendly's to the Friendly's line.
Uh-huh.
And you have to take your Ben & Jerry's to the Ben & Jerry's line. That's what our staff, our salespeople, our producers do every single day of the week on every single account that we write. We're going to 20 or 30 different checkout lines all day long. When the data is in our agency management system, we've spent 25 to 30 years gathering this data. We've got last year's data. We have the claim information. We have more information aggregated than any one of the systems we're submitting to. And yet, we cannot bind insurance in our agencies, in our systems in 2017.
So,
and that to me is one of the greatest handicaps that we have right now in competing with the online and direct writer world.
All right. So let's talk about
the
concept of the solution. So without talking about, the coding and the programming and the engineering, clearly we're talking about bringing disparate parts of the industry together in kind of a cohesive, coordinated fashion to make that happen. What needs to happen in order for that to be adopted by our channel?
Well, funny you should ask, because
we
already started that process. So this has been a conversation among the vendors that I've been involved with in the associations for many years.
Right.
I brought it to one association. It was one of these things that bothered me back in the late 2000s when I saw the advent of predictive modeling and the quote us 100% of the time comments came out and all of our closing ratios went down on a per carrier basis. What I also saw is the cost of our reports going up in the chargebacks. And we came up with ways to sort of fix that by not having the reports run.
Right.
Well, that didn't help us sell anything. That was the unintended consequence, was we stopped being able to sell. There was no longer a green button. So the industry has gotten together, and in this particular case, PI National has taken the lead in saying, and everyone's welcome to the table, the associations, et cetera. So this is not a just, you know, one logo fits all scenario. We realize this has to be a mission and a movement across the independent agency channel. We had a meeting at Accord's offices about a year and a half ago, and we formed work groups, and those three work groups work on the business, the technical, and the regulatory nature of the challenge. And as we speak now, those three work groups are forming. So if there's volunteers, raise your hands. Frequently, you need two people or three people from the same company. A carrier that participates, and many are. They get it. They want to participate in this. Most people think they don't. They actually do now. They might have somebody for the business side. They might have somebody on the technical side. And they definitely might have somebody on the regulatory side. It might be the same person. So that's what's happening currently. The buy button is not a product. It's an issue. And it's a philosophy. The technology vendors will tell you it is not a technology problem. While some technology may need to be written or implemented, it's not a technology problem. It's doable, and it's being done with some groups right now, some aggregators. So this is a matter of the independent agency system raising their hand, getting behind it, and going, you know what, I get this. This is what's going to help me survive. And that's phase one. Phase two has to do with agents retaining and cross-selling their current clients. And I would call that the client portal phase. So if we're able to now finally offer our clients offline a solution, then, Michael, if you sign into your agent's site on a Saturday to reprint your auto ID card, and you've also got a boat that you're trailing, which is not written with your current agent, why wouldn't you see an offer to buy boat insurance right there when you came to your client portal? So I know very few agents who wouldn't try to cross-sell their existing clients based upon the, you know, recommendations of coverage that they would normally have in their agency, which were programmed into their online customer acquisition tool. Why wouldn't I want to offer that to you anytime you wanted it? To my client portal, your current client, of course I want to offer it to you.
So that's phase two. Phase three.
Phase three is, I don't know you. You're a new prospect. And let's offer you something. And my feeling is, I think just about every agent in the world wants phase one because we'd like to be able to begin and end the process. A lot of agents are going to want phase two immediately, or maybe they want it in a year or two, and a substantial number of agencies would sign on for phase three now, but maybe not everyone for two or three or 4 years. Here's the thing. We can't get to phase three until we fix phase one. And that's how I see the challenge for the independent agency system over the next 3 years.
Is there something that you want agents to do to get involved now? Is now a time where people need to get up and say something or talk to someone? So what should they do?
Communicate with your carriers like crazy. Let them know that you understand now. You finally understand what the buy button is. This wasn't about I'm giving up my world, that you need the carriers, the vendors, and the agencies all to play nice together to help accomplish this. And it doesn't matter what line of business is. Don't think it's just about personal lines. It is absolutely about small commercial as well. Let's recognize that we have better products and pricing in many cases than our competitors in personal lines, and yet we're sitting around, you know, 30-some-odd percent market share, folks, it's not that long until we start seeing the same thing happen in small commercial lines. Where less reports are required to be run, there's less gating factors, and now there's a movement to ask people 5 or 10 questions in order to deliver a quote. So, you know, this is moving very quickly, and time is today. So raise your hand and say you're interested, and I would always tell people reach out to the local state associations, and if they don't know where to go, you know, they can go to pianet.org/buy button. Or also reach out to their user group. So if they're a Vertifor or Applied User or Hawksoft, they can reach out to their user groups, and their user groups are all participating in this, and they all want this to happen. So there's so many ways to get involved right now, any way they want.
All right. Keith, I want to switch gears a little bit here. I'm going to ask you now to wear your agency principal hat.
So, it just was.
Well, yeah, yeah.
But,
first of all, I have to remember that you are no longer Warwick. You are Broadfield Insurance.
We're the same companies rebranded. Warwick Insurance Group was on the East Coast, Libke Insurance Associates on the West. We are a national agency in that case. in that sense, and we rebranded as Broadfield Insurance Group.
Okay, so you're doing some fascinating things with your agency, and I have had a front row seat to some of these changes and transitions you're making. So first of all, my first question is, if you can, just explain what you have done, and then I'm going to dig into the why and the wherefore.
Well, we put together the agencies in January of 2015, mm-hmm. and it's a great story because, as you know, a lot of it started in one of your mastermind groups,
right.
Where we met each other. And we learned as we were building our business plans together that we had a lot of similarities.
Mm-hmm.
We also recognized, and this is thinking out of the box a little bit,
right.
that sometimes getting together with an agency has nothing to do with geography. It has all to do with philosophy,
uh-huh.
and you can capitalize on the really differences in geography. So we all knew that we were invested in client relationship tools, and most of those tools are automated, autopilot, et cetera.
Right, of course.
And we also knew that we wanted to be on the same management systems,
mm-hmm.
the same telephone systems, et cetera. And because of the nature of the world today, that's all very doable and quickly. Because of our coast-to-coast process presence, we knew that we were going to have an opportunity to create extended business hours. So whereas our competitors close at 5, we don't.
Right.
If our office is never really closed due to inclement weather, because while it's snowing on one side of the country, it's not on the other, and
uh-huh.
so on. So we're always able to be there for our clients all the time. And we're also committed to portal technology and to being there as often as possible. So if I fast forward to today,
right.
our investment in things like, you know, rotational servicing, extended business hours, and now also realizing that, wait, if I've got an employee in one state or the other, their physical presence is actually less important than their talent. So now we actually have direct employees in 7 states and 2 countries.
And
that's all in 24 months.
And am I right about this, that some of them are truly what we would call remote workers? They don't work in an agency location. They work, do some of them work out of their home?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and now they visit offices, but they absolutely work. Their responsibility, for example, one, we have someone who works on placing small commercial lines. Their physical location, they're going to have to take the submissions, whether they come from the East Coast or the West Coast. So they're in Massachusetts.
Right.
Even though the office is in New York. Our technology support
uh-huh.
person's in Calgary. Our personal lines umbrella placer is in Connecticut and Maine, and so on. So it was less important for a lot of those types of roles for that. But we are local Main Street offices. I think that's what's really neat about this, is that you can visit our Main Street offices
right.
in multiple places in the United States in effectively smaller towns, and you can walk in the door and you can buy insurance. So we've never walked away from any one of the demographics. What we're doing is we're expanding both our demographics and our philosophy to embrace, you know, the next generation.
All right.
And, you know, from a tactical level,
uh-huh.
if I was to give an agency principal a list of things that they would be working on, you can only accomplish that if you have great connectivity, meaning connectivity with your carriers,
right?
So that
right.
the experience is the same whether someone's sitting at home or not. If you have a good customer acquisition and retention tools, that means automated application and interviewing systems. That's
mm-hmm.
really critical.
Right.
Again, you have the client portal so that a client knows that whether they visit you online or they visit you in the office or they speak to someone in the office, they have all of those options available to them. You know, we're just expanding on what we can do for people. We're not removing their ability to speak to someone. We have good CRM systems.
Right.
So as you know, the retention of the client's important. And the other piece is investing in data analytics.
Uh-huh.
So agencies need dashboards. And thankfully, I could tell you most of the major vendors have come out with good dashboards over the past few years. And if an agency principal doesn't know that that exists right now, they really need to look into that. And once you have dashboards and analytics, then you can implement accountability. And that means that it's less important that somebody physically walks in and sees what's on someone's desk versus knowing, you know, what's in their scan folders, what's in their, you know, in their pipeline, what are we doing with retention,
right.
what's our PIF retention?
Uh-huh.
What's our premium retention? What's our earned premium? What's our loss ratios? You know, and not waiting at 12 months to find out that answer.
All right. So I want to kind of wind this up with very tactical, practical suggestions from Keith. So for an agency leader, principal, a broker who is committed to the industry, you know, not just wanting to, you know, sail away for the last few years, but really is committed to growth and flourishing in a pretty rapidly changing environment. If you were going to encourage them to just go pay attention to these two or three things or do these two or three things, what do you want to say to the audience?
Well, the very first thing is think about your customer, about your client, and all the things that you can do to make their experience better. So many of the procedures are built around self-serving, inwardly facing, challenges.
Yeah.
So that would be the first one. The second is never think of technology as technology. Think of it as business tools. So somebody uses a term like customer relationship management systems or software. Don't ever think of it as a computer, ever. Think of it as an important business tool, because that's no longer acceptable to me to think of technology as a computer.
Ah.
Everything we do today is somehow connected to technology, the Internet of Things, et cetera.
Right.
And I believe that when you do that, you allow your eyes to glaze over and you stop thinking about it as a business tool, and you feel as if it has to be handed off to an IT guy. And I really believe agency principals need to take ownership of the fact that these are just business tools and we need to implement them. So to me, that's an important part. And the last is, don't be afraid to invest in yourself and your own agency. I see people sitting on the same phone systems they've had for 9 years, not sending anyone to a user group meeting for 5 years.
Right.
Sense that you gave up. I mean, frankly, I hate to say it, but things have changed so much in the past 4 or 5 years. You need to get reengaged. And don't ever allow yourself to not be engaged. And Mike, that's probably why you see me, my brother, everybody at the various groups.
Right.
We learn more. You may think that you're seeing me on stage, but I'll tell you right now, I'm learning more from everybody in those rooms through the questions they ask and the challenges that they pose.
Right.
And sometimes the trust that they put in me to go find the answer or to speak with someone, than I think anyone will ever learn from me. And so I believe that it's a collaborative, probably the largest mastermind group we have in this country is our groups, our association, because we all come away as better agents. The last is help out your competitor. We do all the time.
What do you mean by that? Yeah, talk a little bit about that. What do you mean help out your competitor?
Okay, so if I tried to present the buy button as an issue solely for my agency, how far do you think I would get?
Yeah, that would be the end of the conversation.
You know it.
Right. Okay.
So we're all sort of in this together.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the insurance industry is actually very uniquely designed like this. We work together shoulder to shoulder as competitors in this industry. Tough for people to get their arms around sometimes, but it's worked out really well for about 300 years.
Right.
And, you know, even when we talk about disruption in the industry, the absolute best disruptors have been the insurance agents and brokers themselves.
All right.
That's where the best ideas come from.
Keith, I know that you're not selling anything to this audience. You're not a vendor, and I don't want you to be deluged with inbound calls and emails, but more than likely there's some people that may want to reach out to you because they want to get involved. So if somebody does want to contact you, Keith, how should they do that?
Oh, boy, that's a setup, isn't it? So I guess, you know, the best, obviously, is my email, which could be, you know, Keith S., and that would be at warwickresource.com or at broadfieldgroup.com.
All right.
I'm big on cyber liability. You can probably find me at, you know, cyber.insure.
Yes, right.
You know, actually, I'm going to tell you right now, if you just Googled my name, Keith Savino, you'll probably find my contact information in a number of websites around the country.
Not going to be hard to find, right.
It sounds really condescending when I say that, but no, I think if somebody says they don't know how to reach me, that's an issue. I would say always, though, you feel free to reach out to me, but I always tell folks, start with your local user groups, start with your trade associations, start with the places where you're passionate. And by the way, raise your hand. It's okay to volunteer and to get involved in the industry because it will pay you back tenfold.
Very good. Keith, no doubt I will be seeing you at a meeting very shortly. As a matter of fact, I think I am next week.
I think we are.
All right. Very good. I want to thank you for spending time with us, and thank you for your generosity. And, of course, really thank you for setting an example to other agents and brokers in regards to your leadership to the industry. So thank you very much, Keith, and look forward to seeing you soon.
Very good.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.